Welcome to another episode of the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt. A fresh take on sports by two guys who think they're right even when they're wrong, which is a lot. Sports, movies, music, and, well, other stuff. So sit back, relax, turn it up, and join the journey into the unknown and maybe have a laugh or two. Here's your host, Brandon Lowe and Ryan Britt.
Hey, we're here. August 5th, Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt.
What's up? Get you a Susie Biscuit.
There you go. Yeah, man, good to have Ryan back in the house today.
What's up?
He's back. It always feels like, and I know I've said this before, but does it feel like you've been gone for like a year, even when you're gone for a week?
Like, I feel
really
like...
really weird.
Yeah, I told you it felt like I'd been in and out of a time portal. Like, I don't even... 2 days later, and I have... It's foggy.
Yeah, Ryan's been covering the state amateur, which has been fun, right?
Yeah, it's a blast, and you know, usually you only have a golf tournament. That's fun enough, but...
But then you had some... you had a story come up on there.
The events of 5 o'clock and onward...
Brother starting, had Shark Week down there at the Greenbrier.
Yeah, Wednesday a.m. Wednesday I worked a 15-hour shift.
There you go.
And really, more than that, considering I tried to write much of the story the night before in anticipation, because, I mean, he was over there Tuesday evening. That's when sightings started to surface.
Yeah, yeah.
And here's my thing, like, and there's a lot of
getting
things.
My joke about Shark Week.
Yeah, I got it.
I got it. We did.
That's how I learned the story, Jack. Was it Shark Week? But I did, yeah.
Oh, did you? I didn't read it.
Yeah, well, there you go. Kidding. That's your own fault.
No. He read it. You get the physical paper, man.
That turned into a...
You're my source, man. I had an inside source. Although you didn't tell us what it was.
No, I couldn't bust the...
I think that's so funny he does that to us every time.
Who was I going
to
tell? My dogs?
I'm going to...
You know everybody. Like,
yeah, but I'm not on the horn at 9 o'clock at night telling everybody.
But we're not going to go call... Like, I'm not going to call someone to get the story out there.
Well, I just want to make sure you read it.
We ride and die with you, Ryan.
We were prepared.
Yeah, just want to make sure you go.
I was hoping it was something else.
Give it a read. And that story changed a lot over Wednesday.
As soon as you got out.
Yeah, and immediately an update, like right after.
Well,
you
not
put
only
it out.
That, I mean, there were updates throughout the day. So I'm sitting on the first hole, and the minority leader of the West Virginia Senate calls me, which, by the way, I don't mind at all. Don't get me. He actually texted me, not called me, but I don't mind at all. But I would like to know how he
got your number.
Arrived on my phone number. Yeah, somebody's just dealing it out there, like, for free. Come on now.
That was me. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
Get them.
Yeah.
No.
All you 1%ers kind of, each other. So.
But it's funny, like, Norman no commented me and then opened a whole can of worms in, like, 5 words.
In the same comment. He made a comment.
And that comment... I'm going to go see the guy. Absolute firestorm, because now we know that Jim Justice isn't in Charleston. He's in White Sulphur Springs, which, of course, goes into that whole conflict of interest.
Yes.
You should be in Charleston doing your damn job as opposed to being at the Greenbrier thing. And, of course, that's a whole firestorm. But shout out to HD Media's Lacey Pearson, too, who did a lot of really good work while I was... Because I did 4 hours of work. I broke the story. I wrote the sports angle.
Tell the story, though, because we're kind of just going into it without telling it. So tell... People haven't maybe seen it. What went down?
Yeah, so Greg Norman was at the Greenbrier where I was there.
Which is the Liv.
He's the Liv CEO.
Yeah.
Liv Golf. And if you don't know about that, then please look at the Gazette Mail, the Herald Dispatch. You can read all about it, because I did a lot of research on it before the sun even cracked Wednesday morning. But he was on the property, the Greenbrier. He's scouting Old White as a potential host site for a Liv event next year. And it was something that had been swirling for a while. If you follow the pieces over the last week or two, it's kind of fit together quite nicely that it, starting in the same day that Live Tour announces that it's going to expand from 8 to 14 events, on the same day that Bubba Watson announces, or the rumors start flying that he's going to Live. Mm-hmm. So Bubba Watson, of course, a former landowner and spokesman for the Greenbrier.
Yep.
Phil Mickelson's already there. Of course, he was a former spokesman for the Greenbrier. Donald Trump, former president Donald Trump, big Liv supporter, just had an event on his course. Also happens to be kind of buddies with a certain governor here who has some sway at the Greenbrier. There was a lot of pieces, you know, that started to fall together, and rumors were flying a week ago. And yeah, so Tuesday night, I'm down there Sunday through Wednesday covering the West Virginia Amateur, minding my own business, having a good golf tournament, a little rainy, you know, but otherwise had an umbrella. I was good. And yeah, sightings of the shark on Tuesday evening start flying.
Bum, bum.
Yeah.
Bum, bum.
So, and you know, it's a story I've been aware of and tried to work a bit for a while. And that was kind of the sealer there. If he's on the property, we know what he's there for. And yeah, rushed out Wednesday morning early and got to the 17th green on the old white at the same time that Greg Norman was coming around in a golf cart.
I was about to say, where's the moment that you,
and, I got there about a minute in time and, yeah, shook his hand. He was nice enough. Said, no, I got to go meet with the Greenbrier or with the governor. Sorry. And, of course that comes into a whole thing now where we're talking politics stuff. And that's why I credit Lacey for doing a great job and getting some quotes from Mr. Baldwin there and, getting some stuff out of the governor's office. Of course, I broke the story and was trying to push the Greenbrier to give me a statement. They didn't want to do that. So I ran the story. And as soon as I ran it, I got a call back and said, hey, I'll have a statement in 5 minutes. So as I was getting ready to go out the door, oh, by the way, all to go cover the final round of the amateur, which was the whole reason I was there for the whole week. Right.
That's crazy.
I had to wait and get that statement. Once I got the statement, it's no longer sources. It's he's definitely here. The Greenbrier's acknowledging that he's here and then quoting on how they are definitely under consideration for a live stop. So basically rewrote that whole story I'd been working on since 5 a.m. up until about 8. Got it done in an hour, then got in the car, drove to the Greenbrier, caught up with Norman, reported back to the office that he no commented, and then I started my work.
Yeah.
Then the tournament. I had to cover
that's
the fourth
a full
round.
Day.
Yeah, and the fourth round, hey, then the AM, it was awesome.
And you had some awesome, I was watching your Twitter updates.
Always is. It's always hard to beat, man. It's probably my favorite event of the year for good reason. There's just, for every story I tell in the paper on here, there's 50 I can't.
Sure.
It's like a whole takeover of that area every year, and it's just a fun time, man. But, so yeah, so LIV, a very divisive organization, obviously, for good reason. I don't know if you guys did read, especially after what Lacey added. She got into a lot more of that than I did, especially when it comes to justice and his conflicts of interest and what side of that you fall on and all that. I'm not here to judge anybody. I'm just telling you what it is.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about stuff with him before, but that was the first thing I said to the wife whenever I was like, well, you know, Ryan just got that. I'm like, the governor's there. Is he able to speak on business? Why he's the governor? I thought that was supposed to be signed over to
his kids. Yeah.
So it wasn't his name. So there was no conflict of interest. And then he's there talking business. That just doesn't seem.
And of course, the LIV golf in general is
Saudi.
Saudi backed. And the crown. I got into all this. The crown prince of Saudi Arabia, who I never thought I'd write about in a story. But hey, that's why you love this job. You just never know, right?
Yeah.
It was identified by the CIA as the guy who was responsible for ordering the murder of a Washington Post columnist.
Yeah.
Which is what has a lot of people upset. And the others are upset because that same family has been tied to 9/11. Now,
sure.
I don't know that that's, I don't think that part of it has been proven or whatever you want to say, but the people that
apparently carried it out was from Saudi Arabia.
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of smoke there too. It's so much so, in fact, a couple weeks ago, like 2,500 people who are family members and relatives of survivors and unfortunately victims of 9/11 wrote an open letter to the PGA just thanking all the guys who haven't gone yet.
Yeah, that's all that.
So it comes with controversy for sure. But it's a huge deal. And, you know, like I said, it took off after we got it. And credit to Lacey, too, did a great job. I think together we wrote a really, really meaningful piece. And that's, at the end of the day, that's why you do what you do. So
good work, man. Yeah. Seriously.
Thank you.
That'll be really interested to see how this all comes to play. And, you know, if we know any type of business men that, especially billionaires, and you got this opportunity to bring in all this money and bring in this, I mean, I'm not making any predictions, but
yeah,
I have a hard time thinking that he's going to turn it down if he's offered.
Well, Norman's, to my knowledge and what I've heard, he is scouting several spots. I mean, the Greenbrier's on a list, and you know, how they end up doing what they do, who knows, but, you know.
So he's basically scalping what PGA, because, you know, obviously the PGA used to go to All White, and now he's like, okay, it's open for, you know, free agency kind of here.
And, you know, another layer, and there's so many layers, is you go back to the contract that was originally between the Greenbrier and the PGA Tour that went defunct, and you know, the Greenbrier cited that it was because the PGA Tour moved the event from July 4th to the fall, which the fall is like the dead zone for PGA Tour. No one cares.
Sure.
It's like after the Tour Championship and then the wrap back around. And, you know, there's been rumors there that that went badly and that there's some bad blood there between Jim Justice and the PGA Tour. And, you know, if that's true, which I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying that's what a lot of what's flown around. What better way to...
Yep.
Stick it back to the PGA, then say, hey, bring a live golf event here. So,
yeah, I mean, and
by the way, Noah Mullins won the tournament.
Yeah, there you go.
He was great. Absolutely great. And hopefully we'll talk about him a little later when we have a little more time.
Sure.
But outstanding job by him. But good.
Did he was the one that hit it out from 40 yards, right?
Out for eagle in the 17th hole, 71st, 17th of the day.
That's crazy.
I was sitting right there. Saw it. It was unbelievable. One of the best shots I've ever seen in that event. I've covered it for a long time. It'd be one of the greatest shots ever in that event.
This has got to be, though, one of the craziest other stories that you never, you know what I mean? Stories that come out from the amateur that you've covered where it's like, oh, there's this live situation.
In 2009, Justice showed up at the amateur to announce the Greenbrier Classic.
Okay.
So there is some kind of press. So when reports that Norman was on the grounds, rumors started flying. Oh, my God, they're announcing today. It's going to be live.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, no. I was like, I didn't buy that from the beginning because, you know, like I said, I have sources and stuff, and I've heard. I kind of knew, you know, what was going on a little bit.
You don't have as many sources as those people on Facebook.
I don't have the ones that the guys on Twitter that have 600 followers have.
Don't give yourself too much credit.
Yeah, I do.
Don't be a hater.
Yeah, I work a little bit, so. but no, it was a crazy situation, and it's funny, you know, I didn't set an alarm for 5 a.m. on Wednesday. My body woke me up and said, hey, it's time to start writing. You're going to need this time. Okay,
yeah.
Here I am in the dark of a hotel room just pounding away, and thank God I started when I did, because the way it worked out and I finished and I got on the car, and if I was 5 minutes later on anything, it wouldn't have worked out. So,
well, you always like to be early anyway, so that worked out for you.
That's not wrong, although you beat me here today. Congratulations.
Yeah, I did.
I was still early, but you were earlier.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, I actually, if anybody, Ryan always usually beats everybody everywhere. That's his thing.
Except for me.
Yeah, you get there even earlier, too, though, whenever we go places.
We get there at the same time when we ride together, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Texas game, we were, yeah.
I see us riding together in the future.
I'm not against it. Anything to save a few miles on my car,
you're going to be driving on anyway.
And gas prices, yeah.
Yeah.
You just split them up and be good.
Also, we got Boone McKinney. Nitro High, head football coach, second year. He's going to join us for a scoop and score. That's coming up here shortly, I believe. Do we have a break coming up here, Jack?
Yep.
So let's just go ahead and take a break, and we'll be joined by him, see what Nitro's got going into this year. Of course, we're into practices and all that stuff now. So we're being brought to you by the Tent Guy. It's over on Nitro off 25 on Michigan Avenue, quarter mile from that St. Albans Nitro Bridge. For all your tenting needs, includes residential, business, boats, whatever you need. As far as tenting goes, 304-380-2935. That's the Tent Guy over at Nitro.
Rain starts to fall.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Who could have imagined?
I think you jinxed us because it hadn't rained in a little while. So, I'm
so tired of rain. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back here on the Brandon Lowe Show at Brian Pritt. And welcome back to the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Britt here on HD Media Sports and Video Productions. Now another edition of our Scoop and Score segment. On the line, joining us, second-year head football coach over at Nitro High, Boom McKinney. Thanks for joining us, Coach.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
First question, I'm just a little intrigued. Where did you get the name Boom from? Where did that come from?
Honestly, I've been called Boom since the day I was born. That was really the first thing my dad said when I came out, and I was always, you know, making noise when I was young and stuff and sports and things like that. So it just kind of stuck.
So your dad went boom, like boom, when you came out.
That's awesome. The first thing he said.
That's awesome.
What is the real? What's your real first name?
James.
Yeah. Okay. Does anyone call you James in life?
No.
Not your mom. No. Not anybody.
No. No one.
Wow. The only reason why I knew his name was James was because I saw it on the CHS preview. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to be official sometimes.
There we go. Well, let's talk some football, man. That's why we're here. Practices have started. Yes. Gotten a good look at this team. You saw them every 3 weeks, of course, there a month or so ago. What are you seeing out of the squad, man? What do you like? What are you concerned about? What we got going on here?
Well, my likes and concerns are a bit of the same. We got a great young group. We got a lot of sophomores. That's going to contribute this year. Of course, we got Derek Lowe, our quarterback, coming back that stepped in when his brother got hurt last year. But we do have a veteran offensive line, so I'm excited about that. And the group really seems to be gelling better than some of the years past. So that's definitely a positive that we got going for us. But I'm excited. You know, it's a good young group, and with the veterans that are sprinkled in there, I'm like what I'm seeing.
Coach can never go wrong with a quarterback the last name Lowe, by the way. So they'll lead you there.
Any relation there, Brandon?
No, I don't think so. not that I'm not aware of, but it's West Virginia, so you never know. Yeah, anyway, I know you're talking about this young group. I know they talked to a couple of seniors whenever they were you had some media down there, and it seems like there's a family aspect to this team. Would you agree with that as far as, even though you have a young team and you talk about those older guys, you know, trying to help out, it seems like you get more of like a family atmosphere down there.
Yeah, we've been doing some team bonding things. I mean, not necessarily going on trips and things like that, but doing competitions in the weight room, and really in the past, they've kind of been more concerned about themselves, but they're really getting behind each other and cheering each other on in the weight room, pushing each other. And when they're on the field, you know, they're telling each other good job, and they really want to see each other improve.
Hey, Coach, like Brandon said on the intro there, second year coach, take us back through that experience last year as being the first time at the helm there. And how do you think, what'd you learn? How do you think you're better off suited to go into year two?
Yeah, it's always I've been there for, this will be my 12th year as a coach at Nitro, but last year was my first year as a head coach, and it's although I've been there, there was definitely a lot to learn as the head coach, just dealing with the paperwork and obviously the media and family, and then, you know, you're in charge of all the kids. You're almost like another dad to them. And just making sure everything's going okay at the house for them, and obviously grades. But we got a great coaching staff that works well together, and that's the biggest thing right there, is having a great staff to help you out.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that you did get some more assistant coaches. I know your players were even really high up on that they had more coaches to kind of talk to and learn some things from. So can you go into adding those coaches, why that wasn't so important?
Yeah, we got the new defense coordinator this year, Thomas Lovejoy, new D-line coach, Andy McCollum. He's originally from Myrtle Beach, so that was a great get. A huge get was obviously our new offensive line coach. He's doing a great job. Back to our defense coordinator, he's bringing a lot of energy. I mean, he's really on the spot. the defense, and he's really upbeat, man. He's got those kids fired up in all the drills, but they're having fun doing it, which is making it most exciting for him. And he's doing a great job. And of course, we got Coach Lowe back as our offensive coordinator.
Yeah, speaking of getting people fired up, I think Ryan said before he went on here with you that he would dress up in like a Wildcat mascot gear and get that crowd fired up over there this year.
That would be great.
I don't think I fit in that thing anymore, but that was about 80 pounds and 19 years ago. But, hey, Coach, you know, you guys had a pretty good end of the year last year. I was there when you kind of took care of business against Sissonville, and you almost kept Scott out of the playoffs on that last game. Of course, I know you got Trevor back there at the end, and that certainly helped. But to end the season that way, you know, with a little momentum, does that make a difference as you head into the offseason? Have you seen any difference because of that?
Oh yeah, obviously it makes a big difference. You know, it was great getting Trevor back last year. That was a big morale booster there when he came back. But with the veteran offensive line we're coming back with, you know, they've carried that over. They've been excited. They worked hard over the winter. And that's exactly what they've been building off of, and that's what's pushed them through the winter and the spring, is the way we ended last year and how well it went.
Speaking of momentum, you're opening the season kind of like a bucket of cold water being thrown at you is Poca right out the gate, but kind of talk about that. I mean, this could be a statement for your program right out the gate.
Yeah, it's I've never. Being a Wildcat, it seems to have changed over the years, but it's a huge rival for me. It seems like the kids, there's a lot of them that they're such good friends with each other these days, unlike it was when I was growing up. A lot of times they're more worried about St. Albans, which is our second game, and it's obviously a huge rival with the Battle of the Bridge and all, but, you know, I'm always focused on the next game, which is Poca, and I'm fired up. I'm ready to get that. Everybody talks about the Battle of the Bridge trophy. Well, there's also a trophy for the Poca game, which is the barrel.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I would love to have that back. It's been 4 years since we've had it, and I'm pumped.
Hey, Coach, you know, you said you've been there for 12 years, and I've been in that community for 30 of them. So I don't have to tell you this. I'm sure you know, but it's been 14 years since the last winning record there. As a head coach, and it, I mean, these kids, I was in school when J.R. House was there, and we know the tradition that program has, but it's been so long. How do you, as a head coach, how do you kind of instill that in new players and kind of try to change the mindset? I got to imagine that's about as difficult as anything when it comes to trying to rebuild a program, right?
Yeah, it is. And of course, I'm a Nitro alum myself. I'm a lot older than you. I graduated in 91, so I'm a lifer here in the community.
Yep.
So I know all about J.R. House and them. I just preached them. We have their jerseys hanging up in the locker room. So they quite, you know, these young kids, a lot of them don't know about it until you explain to them. Those numbers are retired, and, you know, when we're going through and asking about numbers and stuff, which has been recent, and they're like, why can't I have that number? I'm like, well, that 22 is retired, son. 26 is retired. Josh Culberson, Chris Fulmer. So we talk to them about that and keep them up to date, and, you know, they're looking up their records and things like that. So they're well aware.
All right. Well, Coach, this is the fun part of this whole segment. We're going to do a 12-pack of questions. There's three of us in here, and we each ask you four questions, equaling that 12-pack of questions. Some might be a little sports-related, but mostly not.
Yeah, mostly it's just fun, stupid stuff. Yeah. So,
You ready, Coach?
I'll give it a shot.
All right, right out the gate, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys?
Oh, boy. NSYNC.
Oh, that's the one of the very few NSYNCs we've got.
That's the quickest answer we've had, too. I don't know what that says.
Well, Dingus, he was pretty quick with Backstreet Boys, wasn't he?
Yeah, so
all right, NSYNC got here.
NSYNC, all right.
I couldn't name one of their songs.
All right, Coach, as a Nitro guy, I got to ask this one, because I'm going to make you pick here. If an opposing fan is coming to your town for an away game, where are you telling them to go eat, and what are they ordering? So there's a couple of nitro staples over there, and I got to see which way you go with this. So.
I'm probably going to have to go with Deals.
Okay. Yeah.
Any order in particular?
I'm going with the baked steak and gravy, mashed potatoes and green beans. That's my go-to. So that's what I'm telling you.
You got Jack Withrow over there getting his car keys ready. Just so you know, that's all.
There will be pie after that as well.
Oh yeah, graham cracker pie.
That deals is delicious.
They just tease you when you get in there and you walk through to sit down, and they got that case, all those pies. Case,
yep.
Yeah. See,
See, my personal choice would be Rio Grande, but I'm also getting a Texas Rita, and then at that point, I don't know if I'm going to a high school game. So he's probably right with Deals. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Hey, Coach, sticking with Deals, you got the Josh Culbertson sandwich down there in the JR House. When they bring up the Boone McKinney sandwich down at Deals, what is it?
Oh, I'm probably going to have to go with a double cheeseburger with pepper jack cheese and mustard and ketchup and maybe some onion.
Okay. Some boom stank on it.
I still think there needs to be a Morgan Burdett burger down there, but that's a whole other thing. We can talk about that
Morgan
later.
Burdett. Oh, she's my neighbor.
She made three plays in a regional final at Sissonville to send them to the state tournament that I've probably never seen a second baseman make since or before in a softball game. That girl needs a sandwich.
Hey, that girl, that was a special kid right there. Like, yes, she just lived a couple doors. But she was a heck of an athlete, man.
If you go back and read my story, that's how I led that story.
Yes.
I don't think anyone at Deals listened, but if you're listening now, Morgan Burdett sandwich, and it has to have bacon on it because she saved her bacon that night.
That's right. She deserves it. She deserves a sandwich.
Absolutely. All right, Coach. Movie or show that you've cried to that you've never publicly admitted to until right now?
Movie or show that I cry to? I don't know.
You don't cry?
No tears?
That's a man right there.
Wow. I can't think.
It'd be Tears of Joy.
Yeah, Tears of Joy, too. We can throw that in there.
Forrest Gump.
Okay. Well, that's kind of hard not to cry, too.
I like Forrest Gump. That's a good
one. He's talking to the... Yeah, that's rough.
All right, Coach, if you're stranded on a deserted island and you can only have one record to listen to for the rest of your life, what is it?
I'm going to have to go with probably one of AC/DC's.
Okay.
Any
of AC/DC's.
Loves all of them.
So equally.
Yeah, I can't. Back in Black.
Yeah.
Good thing is all their songs sound the same, so you can just pick whatever one you want to put on.
Well, they all at least have the same drum beat.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, that's okay, Coach. We're not hating.
No,
AC/DC.
I'm
going to say, I sense a little hate there.
Hey, no, like, know, that answer is way better than Joey Fields's.
Yeah, pop me.
Now, what does he say? Now volume 83? Come on, Joey.
Wow. That's unique.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going back with the food here. What would you put on your perfect hot dog?
I'm not much on. I'm not a big toppings guy when it comes to hot. I like mustard, ketchup, and chili and cheese.
Oh yeah, that's
I like a little cheese on it.
That's about mine.
I like cheese on
and
hot dogs.
And I'm a big pepper jack guy. I like pepper jack instead of like nacho cheese and stuff. I put pepper jack cheese on
a little
mine.
Kick. I like that. I like that.
All right, Coach, are you a wrestling fan?
No.
Okay, well we'll move on then.
I couldn't. I'm not even going to try to lie about that. I don't. High school wrestling, maybe.
Okay.
Just crush Brandon's hopes and dreams over there. I saw his face.
He's got the perfect name to be a wrestler, too.
Maybe old school wrestling, the new stuff. Hulk Hogan, you know.
Okay.
Those guys.
Well, then you liked it. That's what we're talking about.
When I was young.
Okay. So if you're a wrestler, what do you think your character would be?
Well, it'd have to be something to do with my name.
Yeah. I was gonna say he doesn't have to search very hard.
The boom.
I would have to stick with that, man. I don't know how much of the how much showsmanship I would have, but get me wound up. I could probably do a little something, but
I think he could be Coach Dingus's manager. He could be Boom. And Dingus wanted to be Dirty Dingo. It was his whole
Dirty
wrestling thing.
Dirty Dingo.
Yeah. Wow, I think he's put some thought into that.
Oh, he's a huge wrestling fan.
He has.
Yeah.
Dirty Dingo. Dirty Dingo. Man, that was
his finisher. He was going to come out as Dingo. So
I'm upset that I missed that interview now.
It was good.
That's good
it got off the rails quick.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Coach, if they made a movie about your life, who would you want to play you?
Oh, wow. That's a good... I've never even thought about that.
Well, that's why we're the best podcast on the planet. Right,
exactly,
now.
Exactly. I don't know if I have an answer to that. That'd be
The Rock, probably.
Yeah, that's a good.
The Rock, yeah, he's a foot taller than I am, but yeah, that would be.
And the good thing,
I
is,
like that. The Rock
can do a lot of things
boom.
With cameras,
and he makes 37 movies a year too. So yeah. he's pretty. Yeah,
I'm sure he can squeeze one more in there.
And hosting Shark Week.
And host, yeah, by the way.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, The Rock is the boom.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, Coach. Do you own and wear a pair of Crocs?
I do own a pair. I'm not a Croc guy, really. I do own a pair. The kids would make fun of me all the time, and so I finally bought a pair, but I don't honestly wear them a whole lot. So.
All right.
Last three.
I'm more of a dudes guy.
Dudes, okay.
Hey, dudes.
All right, yeah. Last three here for you, Coach. I'm going to continue the tradition that Wade started on the podcast. Bigfoot or Mothman? Which one you going with?
Oh, Mothman. Oh. Mothman.
Man, you keep getting beat on that one. Like, how
you
got beat
Bigfoot
on
with
one.
Dingus, though.
Oh, the Dingus with Bigfoot?
Yeah, Dirty Dingo. He's a believer.
All right, Coach. I'm going to try it again, Brandon. It's been over a year, and I've still yet to ever get anyone. I think I'm 0 for 43, so we're going to try 44 today.
Oh, I'll be the guy.
I hope so. Not taking the whole series into account, just the original first movie. Rocky 1 versus First Blood. What is a better movie?
I'm a Rocky guy.
0 for 44.
Yeah.
There was a pregnant pause there for a second. I was like, maybe he's going to go Rambo.
Yeah, I thought every time. I've asked everyone from Neil Brown to Bob Huggins to you to Billy. I mean, we've asked
everybody.
No one's with me.
Honestly, I just watched Rambo about, I don't know, right at the beginning of summer when I had a little bit of free time. But I did watch it again for, I don't know, probably about the 20th time. But I've probably seen Rocky about 30, 40 times.
That's yeah. True. Yeah, most people have seen Rocky
I'm gonna
a lot
die on
more.
This hill alone. It's okay.
I think still, no matter what, the other movies is what tarnishes the
I agree too.
Rambo thing.
I agree too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Last question, Coach. Before Friday night, do you have a game day superstition that you do?
Honestly, no, I do not. I'm not a real. I was more superstitious as a player than I am as a coach. You know, I always had to wear the same socks, same underwear. Obviously, they were clean, but I wasn't that crazy.
One of those guys, huh?
No, but yeah, I did. I didn't want to mess with the streaks, but as a coach, I'm, you know, as long as you know the travel gear's packed, and we have everything we need, I'm not much on superstitions.
All right, Coach. Well, good luck this year. Have fun in practice there. Push those kids. Look forward to seeing what your team does. Open up with POCA. I'm sure we'll talk to you at some point in the fall.
Yeah, I'm excited. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Thanks Coach.
Buddy.
Appreciate it.
All right.
I think it was
there he is.
I think it was Dan Marino that I can't remember if it was college or something. He wouldn't wash his socks or something.
Dude, that was an Ace Ventura.
Oh, was that from Ace Ventura? Okay. I thought that was a real thing for some reason.
I had a quarterback that would not wash his jockey strap.
Oh, that is it. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because he thinks flies are lucky.
That's it.
But that you had those type of guys in a locker room, in a football locker room.
I really did. I mixed it up.
Brandon's reporting Ace Ventura.
He's got sources.
Luckily, I have that entire movie memorized.
Oh, I love that movie, too. I just...
Kelsey thinks flies are lucky.
Yeah, yeah. I'm an idiot.
Find the fish or find new jobs.
Yeah. I remember that. I thought for some reason I heard Dan Marino and I mixed in with Ace Ventura because he's in that movie.
I need to finally give up the First Blood Rocky thing and go Ace Ventura versus Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, that's a good one. I still like Ace Ventura better.
Ace Ventura has not aged well, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff.
If you're in the politically woke crowd, that is not your movie. at all.
Especially the ending.
Pretty tough. There's some pretty tough stuff in Ace Ventura. That movie. There's negative 40% chance that movie.
I mean, but how many movies that were made back in the day that probably wouldn't be made?
Yeah, I mean, and it's really a lot more recently than you think. You can go back and watch Wedding Crashers, and it's like horrible.
For sure.
By today's standard, I'll love that movie because I have a sense of humor and I can separate reality from fantasy. But some people can. That's fine. That's yours. That's your own thing.
No, I mean, comedy is comedy.
Yeah. So. I mean, Dave Chappelle's still doing it, and he's getting canceled every other day. So
I think a lot of those guys, though, have moved past being canceled completely. Like, if you have a certain name and you're making, obviously, a bunch of money, I don't think people are going to cancel you.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a line somewhere between being insensitive and
actually making
a joke.
Yeah.
I mean,
for sure.
You got to be able to laugh at yourself of like no matter what or what you're being teased about, you know. It's just, I don't know.
Well, that joke he had with the, you know, the transgender woman and like everybody in a car, that was brilliant how he had that whole thing pointed out.
He's a smart dude. There's no doubt. I mean,
that was brilliant.
I know you're saying like the presentation. Put it together was the presentation of it was unbelievable. But
to be able to figure that out and put it together, I mean, that's a lot.
And look, if you're offended by that stuff, I'm not here to judge you. That's fine. That's your prerogative. You don't have to listen to Dave Chappelle ever again.
I mean, I won't be friends with you, but yeah.
Shut up.
I'm kidding. Anyway, good stuff from Boom.
Yeah, we like to stay away from that stuff.
I really thought Boom was going to be a wrestling guy.
I did too. I mean, that name says it all. I thought
we should have played Cat Scratch Fever when it came on. Well, I mean, that's what they come out to.
Little Wildcats. Oh, really? Yeah,
followed by the greatest PA announcer in the history of PA, Hot Rod Gordon over there.
Hot Rod
got me.
Yeah, he's outstanding. Rod's the man. It may or may not be swayed a little bit by the fact that I have drank beers with him at a tailgate in Morgantown on several occasions, but he's a great guy. And let me tell you something.
I love the name.
The golden pipes of one Rodney Gordon at every Nitro sporting event you've attended over the last 15 years. You know, some of those guys, they become as much a part of the program as anybody. Like
the guy at Sissonville.
Jerry Throckmorton. Talk about golden pipes.
He's not even from this area.
No, he went to school with James Madison. I think he retired officially from teaching this year. So I don't know if
he's done some radio work.
Let me tell you something. Jerry Throckmorton, and I hope he listens to this, is absolutely one of the best human beings I've ever met in this job. It is an absolute privilege to sit next to that guy.
Yeah, he's fun.
At a basketball or football game. And you're right, his voice is, and the way he words stuff, he is an absolutely like amazing PA guy.
We streamed girls soccer game up there at Sissonville.
Yep, and he's there for that.
And a boys soccer.
Yep.
There he is.
Yep. Baseball.
You know, he does his announcing, clicks the mic off, he's talking right to you.
Smooth operator. Yeah. He's there for basketball games, football games, it doesn't matter. He knows every kid on every team. He can tell you when they lost, when they won. And those guys don't get enough credit probably for how much of their time you all know too from broadcasting games.
PA announcing is too, but a lot tougher than you think it is.
Absolutely. Alan McVay down at St. Albans, who does a state tournament too. I mean,
Rusty Withrow does all hurricane stuff.
They throw you stuff throughout the broadcast. You're constantly having to keep everything in order. I mean, it's like, you know, especially at those like state tournaments and stuff where they're like, here, talk about this. And you got vendors and all that stuff. Like, they just got to rattle it off.
I did PA for
West
Virginia Power back in 2019.
Yeah.
And it was nonstop.
It's hard. It's nonstop.
Of course, they have a computer screen right in front of me.
Yeah.
And you've got a script.
Which is more than what any of those high school guys
have. Right. And you're thrown in like,
I'm reading ads and everything else in between guys coming up to bat.
You're like, hey, make sure you go over to wherever and check out the dollar beer or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a skill set.
We need to start bringing those guys on. You'll talk about people that have some stories over the years. Games and stuff.
Well, we can do that. You got to have a cadence and a tempo that's just.
Jerry or Rod would be good. Rob would come on. I'd get him on.
Get him on. That'd be cool.
The toughest thing doing minor league baseball is a pronunciation on.
Oh my god! I'm sure I can't even imagine. Well, anymore which, though, it's almost
which
as
prepared
bad
me for
school.
The University of Charleston soccer.
Yeah, I was going to say the soccer is probably rough too.
Well, it's almost as bad in high school now, and I get it because I'm a writer now. It's like you have to put 3 X's, 4 Y's, and an A in every name that any kid has that was born after the year 2002.
Yeah, names that are just like,
what are you all doing?
Oddly, like the way they would spell them.
Can someone explain to
trying
me
to
why?
Be unique.
They're like, my name's Dylan, D-Y-L-L-L-L-A-I-N. You're like,
the I silent.
Yeah. You're like, what?
I don't get it, guys. I don't know what you all are doing, and I'm pointing the finger at you.
That's a Regan.
And then
joke.
They get mad when you mispronounce
or
misspell,
it. Yeah. I'm sorry, ma'am.
Sir.
I didn't know the third K wasn't supposed to be, enunciated. I don't know.
Dude. Yeah, that is definitely a thing now. There's no, just basic spelling or...
Every name has an X or a Y in it now.
Yeah. And there's so many kids named like Jameson and just weird, like, I don't know, named after alcohol.
I could tell horror stories.
or a rifle.
That's what I was drinking when you were conceived.
Yeah.
Okay, that's probably too far. Can we cut that out? No, I could tell stories, but if I did, then everyone would know who I was talking about, so I'm not going to do it.
I mean, I've heard there was one name that was like a gun brand. I don't know a bunch of
Remington.
Remington, yes.
I know, yeah.
I've heard that.
That's legit.
I go by Remy or whatever. Yeah.
That's legit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it happens.
Which I don't mind it. Just spell it right.
Right, yeah.
You can name him whatever sure. you want.
Yeah,
don't spell it sure, R-Y-M.
Yeah, just don't throw a bunch right. of random-ass letters in there and confuse everybody. They get mad when they misspell it. You're the one that can't read. Anyway, let's...
When I try to mess with my son, his middle name's Jeremiah. So I call him Jerry. I'm like, you pipe it down, Jerry. I get so pissed. Jerry's is such a terrible
Jerry.
Jerry.
It's an older name, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's an older name. I got an old uncle.
Jerry's the name of my favorite musician, so you're not going to hear anything out of me.
It's kind
of
like a Gladys.
Gladys. That's a name we don't get anymore.
Gladys is an
older name.
I've never seen it. I don't think I've ever met a Gladys in my life.
You probably go over one of these homes, you'll meet one. I'm sure.
Or an Eleanor.
Yeah. When he's retiring.
There's a lot of Ellies.
Yeah, but no Eleanors.
That's what it's short for.
Okay. Gladys.
Gladys is one I feel like has gone extinct completely. I haven't seen that
Let's
one.
Bring it back.
Let's bring it
back. If you're
Gladys.
Out there and you're listening and your name is Gladys, call in on Friday. We'll put you on air.
Buford.
All right. Can we get a break now?
Name your son Buford.
Can we talk about West Virginia Amateur and
Gladys and Buford?
Wrap this damn thing up before we piss off every single human being on planet Earth.
All right. This podcast.
We've done a pretty good job of burning bridges the last 5 minutes, boys.
All right. Listen up, Gladys. This podcast is being brought to you by the Tent Guy off 25 over there in Nitro on Michigan Avenue, quarter mile from the St. Albans Nitro Bridge. Stop on by. And see John Wheeler.
Wouldn't it be
call.
Hilarious if John's name was Jerry?
Jerry Wheeler.
It's not.
380-2935. Go over there and see Jerry.
We just spend 5 minutes trashing a name, and then we come around. Oh, crap. John's a great name.
Yeah. All right. We're taking a break. We'll be back here on the Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt. Show with Ryan Pritt, HD Media Sports Video Productions, and being brought to you by Tent Guy. I'll throw that up there, Jack. 304-380-2935. Give the Tent Guy some more love there. Visit the Tent Guy Nitro off 25 on Michigan Avenue for all your tenting needs. All right. All right, so do you want to break down more of the amateur a little bit?
Yeah, just shout out to Noah Mullins, who's a local kid from right down the road in Milton, West Virginia. Just completed his four or five. I'm not sure if he took the COVID year or not. But anyway, he graduated from Marshall, played golf there, played golf at Cabell Midland, was part of a state championship there. Been a good player for a long time, man. Started to kind of appear around the top of these leaderboards when he was 17, 18. And he's a guy that, you know, there's a community of guys down there that you'll see after rounds. And, you know, we're out eating, out having a brewski, you know, something mm-hmm. like that. And you really, I don't see Noah out much. He's more so the night before the final round, he was at the Greenbrier putting. He's a worker, man. He's a grinder. He's earned this one. And, you know, there are a few guys in this field, including Davey Jude and Cam Rome, who are both right behind him and both right. I mean, they're separated by one shot before the hole out on 17. That deserve one of these two. But Noah's certainly one of those guys. And to see him break through in that way, cap it off a really dramatic week, man. And you had a bunch of lead changes. It was tight from the start. You had a course record on the first day. Kyle Wenzel from Wheeling, that. Just going out and shooting 63. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
No big deal.
I mean, it was within the first 15 minutes I was there. He was finishing off his round. I'm like, well, okay, we're gonna start it like this, huh? And then I interview Kyle. I get out on the course, and as I'm going around, Drew Call from Charleston holes out for an ace on four, or on five. I'm sorry, the Meadows course. Wow. So within the course of 40 minutes, I've got a course record and a hole in one.
Wow.
We're off, right? And just good stuff, man. Good play by Ryan Bilby today. He's a Marshall golfer, 19 years old, just turned 19. It's going to be a good one. I mentioned Jude. Rome's been there several times. He's going to get his. But, yeah, man, just great play by Mullins. I followed him on the final day. He had never won a West Virginia amateur. How's this for a stat? And this is how we'll close it. Playing in a group with Pat Carter, 13-time champion. Second greatest player, amateur player, probably in West Virginia history behind William C. Campbell. Trying to win your first one. You're down a shot to three different guys. There was a three-way tie for first. Mullins was a shot behind starting the day. Final round on the most prestigious and historic golf course in the state of West Virginia. Noah Mullins hits 13 out of 14 fairways and all 18 greens in regulation.
Wow.
He absolutely striped it all day long. Played... I've seen Noah Mullins play a lot of rounds going back to Midland days. It's absolutely the best round of golf I've ever seen him play. And that's just a lot because he's played a lot of good ones. But he was on point every shot all day long.
It's crazy, too, because we talk about the mental aspect of golf, obviously. But, you know, it's easy. I wouldn't say easy, but it's like going out and just golfing and trying to do that. But then you're in front of people
with that pressure.
Trying to break through. Makes it. Yeah, that's what makes it.
And Carter told me afterward, he just said he was amazing.
Absolutely.
For Carter to say. I mean, if you don't think that's impressive, I'll tell you what. You go out to any golf course and try to hit the first five greens in regulation.
Right.
Then hit all 18 of them. I mean, that's really, like, never to hit a bad shot.
Sure, yeah.
And Carter told me, he said he hit every single golf shot today. And I was bouncing back and forth between two groups, but starting at about hole eight, I really started to, because that's when he kind of took the lead, was on like 9 and 10, right, going into the turn, because I had been with the final group. I was like, okay, well, now I really got to kind of bounce back and forth and see what he's doing. And I really started to pay attention to the shots, and there are some brutal shots on 13. The tee shot on 13 is freaking unreal. I could be there all day and never hit a good shot. 14's tough. 15 is a long par three. 16, you got water on the right. And he put the ball in position A on every tee box. And I think I started tweeting. I was like, it's really, you kind of kept waiting for the moment to get him.
Yeah.
And just one half swing that's right. Just that far off. And he never made it. And it was really cool to see, man, for him. So I think he's like 23 years old, 23, 24, and could be the first of many, man. We'll see. But great play out of him.
That's awesome. Maybe we can try to get him on the pod.
Yeah, I'm trying to get his phone number. I'll try to have him for next Monday. It shouldn't be that difficult. I'll get him.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Good to talk to the kid.
Yeah. So
kind of go through that moment. I always get interested into what they're thinking in some of those moments, because, I mean, it's so precious. I mean, it'd be tough.
You can,
anyway,
and you can feel it. Like the first 3 days, like there's a fun element to that. Everyone knows everybody. We're all cracking jokes, and then you get into that fourth round, and then once you get to about hole five or six, everything kind of quiets down all of a sudden. Yeah. Like everyone's like, oh, damn.
Anticipation.
Trying to
there.
Win this yeah. amateur now. And, yeah, dude. And like I said, he was that the eagle will be remembered, you know, like, oh, my God, that won him the golf tournament. In a way, it did. What won him the golf tournament, really, was his play from hole one the whole 18.
Consistency played through. It. Yep.
I mean, he was a three-putt bogey on 18 from shooting 65.
Right.
It's five under. That's pretty damn good. There have been many Greenbrier Classics where that would have had him about position two.
Right.
So, yeah, dude, just an incredible round of golf from him. He won that one for sure.
All right, good stuff there. You wanted to talk
yeah,
Stranger Things?
Yeah, I got to ask you, man. The biggest news of the week probably wasn't the amateur or live golf or high school football or high school golf. By the way, congrats to Winfield High School and a Capital City Classic victory yesterday. While we're in the home of the Generals here, Brandon Lowe finished Stranger Things.
I did.
An epic journey here over the last couple months. He finally listened to me, started, got him hooked.
Yeah, I was
pretty
hooked.
Quick, right? Like episode one, you're yeah, like, yeah, I'm in
it.
Yeah, and finished the monstrosity as Jack Withrow falls asleep across from us. That is season four.
Yeah.
What a ride.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to, like, obviously, because it's still kind of new, I guess. So I don't want to give anything too much away. But I think the weird, strange part is how it starts and everybody's kind of, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
Like, how are they all going to make this happen? How is it all going to come together? How is this going to work? And they figured it out, and the writing was awesome. And,
yeah,
it started out, as far as most of the other seasons, a little slower, in my opinion. And I know they were trying to do more character development with 11.
They just had so much to get to.
They had so much.
It's too many storylines. That's one of my...
That's right. There's so much. And that's why every episode was like an hour and a half.
I could have done without the whole Russia thing. Like, just tell me he's all right.
Yeah, I know that too.
Like all of that time over there, I'm just like, what's going on back in Hawkins or California where these kids are driving the bus around?
Yeah, you're right. But I think they were trying to establish that he was with that one dude and, they were going to, that was for later down the road. Yeah. But I'm with you on that. And then you find out that whole thing there. And
Argyle's one of the worst characters I've ever seen in a television show, too.
The
stoner guy.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, just do without him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Guy. Yeah, I'm with you.
Him. I don't need him. I don't need that stereotype. Weed's not that cool. It's legal now.
Like, I know. I'm with you. But, I mean, it takes place in 86,
it
right?
It does. And, so. Yeah, I get it. But, I mean.
But, I mean, even the 70s, like, weed was a thing.
What are we doing? Yeah.
So,
But there were definitely more high notes.
Definitely. The way it came together and wrapped up was really good.
Episode 4 might be my favorite episode of television since, I don't know when. Episode 3, season 1 of Orphan Black, maybe. It's on the, like, the
top three. You talking about the one where the Max scene?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a badass scene.
Like, that last 15 minutes, I didn't breathe.
Oh, yeah. But it's a badass scene.
Yeah, we can get into it a little bit off air, but real quickly, how would you rank the four seasons?
Better than two.
Well, I'm saying, though, like, order them. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, how would you...
Man, it's tough. I think one is number one. I mean, it set the standard for the whole series.
Yeah.
It was so, I mean, I don't know. Everything about that series was, that season, I should say, was really, really good.
I agree.
I'd probably go 1, 3, 4, 2.
That's exactly the way I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because, there's just, and they're all great in their own way. There's just a little more.
And I do love, like, the nods. I mean, season four had so much Nightmare on Elm Street in it. It was remarkable.
That's what I really loved about it.
Because I love that movie, and I've seen it a billion times. So all the little things, I'm like, I'm bugging Kelsey to death. I'm like, you see that? That's from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And there's stuff from It in it, and there's stuff from... I do love that.
And Freddy himself
makes an
appearance in season four.
At one point, what's his name? Throws on the Michael Myers mask. I'm shit.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Let's
go.
Yeah, I thought that was... I think that's what's so cool about this thing, too, is there's so many references and nods to so many different... Whether it's horror movies or just... You know, like, the Goonies is a big... I mean, this whole thing's got Goonies written all over with a bunch of kids that are, on adventures. And then you can throw in... Alien, you can throw in.
A lot of that.
You can throw in Alien, obviously Nightmare.
There's some Breakfast Club in
Breakfast
it.
Club kind of stuff in it. Yeah, you're right.
There's everything. And there's
a little bit of everything
in
it.
You're a fan of that era, which, of course, we both are.
Yeah. I mean, it's 80s to its core, obviously, because it takes place in it. But they do such a good job of implementing, like, the culture of, Like the music's awesome.
Yeah.
Like that, I got to see the Metallica.
Oh my God.
That was badass.
Yeah, I didn't know that was the song. Like, because it kept teasing like a preview. It would show him like playing that guitar work. And yeah. I'm like, I wonder when he plays. I never thought it would be that.
Yeah.
And then it hits that badass. First. Dun! And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Looking at Malia and Kelsey.
No, it was cool, oh, man.
Dun, dun, dun. It was like, No, so very cool stuff.
But. And of course, they all have their like sad moments. So there were some sad moments even in four. But yeah, three was rough for me, dude. Hey. At the end of three, I was like, I was messed up.
But see, the whole other.
But I knew that you would. You gave me the kind of the breadcrumb. I was like, ah, okay.
I should have kept it that way, though.
I know.
Such an effective ending.
Yeah.
For him.
I felt like he went, you know, whatever. But
yeah, there's a couple little mistakes. We'll talk about it off air. But anyway, yeah, I did want to shout out Brandon for getting through a show there and listening to a recommendation.
Yeah.
Still hasn't watched The Nice Guys, but that's okay.
I haven't.
That would only take 2 hours. What you just watched took like 100, but that's okay.
It's so...
Jack heard us say okay, and then he woke up like, are we done now?
Yeah. It's so... that series just binge, man. You just want to watch.
Yeah.
It's just, you keep watching.
Why is it that we as Americans would rather binge watch a show than watch an hour and a half movie?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Jack's like, I don't watch either. So I don't
know. I don't know.
Jack hates to be entertained.
I mean, you could argue every episode in the fourth season was a movie.
Yes. It's movie length.
Movie length, at least.
Like the shortest episode was 125.
Yeah.
Like I've seen many movies that weren't that long.
I mean, the season finale was 2.5 hours.
240. That's an episode.
Yeah.
Jack's like,
put in like $30 million or more in each episode.
Can someone go put a stethoscope on Jack's chest? Does he have a heartbeat over there?
He's dead.
What do you do for entertainment, Jack?
Asleep.
He is old.
No shows, no movies.
He likes the Andy Griffith Show.
I do. And I have been watching Andy Griffith shows.
He was in the Andy Griffith show. He was an extra fishing in the background with Ron Howard.
No one surprised you like that show at all when you said that.
You know, in the opening scene where they're walking down the road,
yeah.
And he throws the rock in the, he could not throw the rock. So they had to have somebody. They had to have somebody behind the bushes actually throw a rock to hit the water.
Really?
And that's somebody.
Why couldn't he throw the rock?
He was a little kid.
Oh, you're talking about when the little... Yeah, yeah, you're right.
The opening.
Yeah,
the opening.
Yeah.
Little Andy Griffith nugget.
Is that the only...
I listen to podcasts. I do.
What's your favorite pod, Jack?
Right
besides
now...
Besides ours.
Besides this one, Biscuits, Brews, and Balls.
Yeah, I was about to say, and then, podcast.
Outside of any...
I listen to the old Duck Dynasty guys.
Yeah, you've talked about that. I
they've got something called the Duck Room or the Duck Call Room.
It's pretty good. Food and stuff.
Yeah, and yeah. It's some guys that weren't actually on the show, but they've been around. They worked for
That's
Duck
cool.
Commander.
The Duck Call Show.
Yeah.
It's Duck Call Room or something. I don't know. I mean, it's pretty entertaining for
it's
me.
It's amazing. Those little inventions can get you just trillions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like all they thought of is, hey, let's make this.
Nope.
Let's call.
Speaking of entertainment, one last thing I'll shout out. I know we're probably too long, but at this point, I don't really care. I've been gone for 5 days, so.
He's got a lot to get out, folks.
Kelsey and I have been playing a video game together.
Really? I know how competitive you get, so that's kind
of No. It's not. It's a co-op. We're
You're working single together player. As a team.
There's a game for PlayStation called Stray. Have you seen this?
No.
You play as a cat. And Kelsey was like...
She's pumped.
I mean, it was... By the way, I don't know if you've kept up. I don't know if you follow her on social media or not.
No.
She is actively on social media searching for another hermit crab because she thinks the first one needs a friend. And she has also followed the Facebook group Hermit Crab like Association or whatever the hell that
Holy
is.
Hell.
This terrain, you should see this terrarium right now. I'll take a picture and I'll send it in the group chat.
Yeah, do it. Yeah,
that
I know you
damn
just...
crab sleeps better than I do.
He was
sleep number bed.
Thanks, sis. So everyone laughs when Malia gets the crab. Like, oh, it's so cute. Malia gets crab. I'm like, no, Malia didn't get anything. Kelsey got the damn crab. Now, here we go. Electric's being shut off because we can't afford to pay bills anymore because she's dumping so much money into this.
What does it eat?
I don't know. Ask her. I can give you her number.
You got some kind of food you probably sprinkle in there.
So anyway, this game, it's kind of awesome. You're running around this futuristic city where there's like robots and aliens and stuff, and you're all
rescue stray cats.
No, you are a cat.
You are a cat. Yeah.
You have to like do little puzzles and stuff. Check that out if you're a kitty fan at all. I'm not even a fan of cats, but it's fun.
Is there at any point where you get really mad you can't figure something out? Is that the part where you get mad?
Well, you know me enough to know I don't get mad about video games or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
He gets mad.
I get.
He's definitely getting heated.
I get irate. I would be embarrassed to probably say on this podcast how many remotes, controllers for like Xboxes and PlayStations I've shattered.
I've told you about my dad, right?
It's probably in the upwards of 20 or 30.
My dad, we would go to whatever game place like once a week to get new controllers because my dad would wind it up and smash it.
Same.
As I was beating him in football games.
And every time you do it, you're like, why do you do that, idiot? I don't know. I'm just so damn competitive, dude. And the worst is like the Call of Duty stuff online when you know you're just getting destroyed by a 10-year-old kid. It's like, I would love to reach this screen and just grab you by your little collar. And
I used to love getting annihilated drunk and going Call of Duty back in my 20s and just talk like a little kid while I'm just destroying people. Like, yeah, I got you. Woo. I'll just do that the whole time.
You know, the worst, I do a lot of online racing and there's always people. Like, you get in the bigger lobbies of, like, 20, 25 people in a NASCAR game, and there will be people that just wait for the leader to come around and wreck them on purpose. Yeah, and trust me.
That's messed up.
Trust me. There's nothing on this planet. Because I'm just thinking, how bad does your life suck?
That's rough.
This is what you do.
That's rough.
But there's one guy on YouTube.
That's kind of funny, though, too.
There's one guy on YouTube who made a bunch of videos where he would do it and just mess with people, and it was the funniest damn thing I've ever seen in my life. So if that guy ever does it to me, I'm going to be like, all right, that's cool. But
that is kind of funny, though. I mean, it's messed up, but it's funny. It's just a video game. Who cares?
I care, Brandon. I like to win at everything.
I know.
In case you've never met me, I'm Ryan, and I have a problem.
All right, that wraps up our show on that note.
That's the best closing line that we could have ever had right there.
That's what it's called. That's what that episode's called. Ryan has a problem. Yeah. That'll get some clicks.
I got 99 problems, and Ryan has 100. There we go.
All right, good to have Ryan back. Good work, Jack, as always. Beautiful Jack Withrow.
Jack got a nap and a PB&J in the middle of that episode. Really did. And you could never tell a difference. So
I'll give one more shout-out to our sponsor there, Jack. The 10 guy over on 25 there in Nitro, Michigan Avenue. It's... Can't miss it. It's a quarter mile from that St. Albans Nitro Bridge. Get a hold of John Wheel and those guys over there, 304-380-2935. He's a good golfer, too, by the way. I know we throw that in, but we were talking amateur, and he's a good golfer.
Yeah.
All right. That does it for us. We'll be back on Monday here on The Brandon Lowe Show with Ryan Pritt.